All right, John chapter number 8 tonight. I don't know, a few months back, Brother Sutliff helped us out by making us, I don't know if we should say this online, burn some copies of a CD for us. Okay, very good. Shared the Songs of Zion with us and appreciated that. And anybody listen to that? Anybody get one of those? And did you like it, Roger? So good, right? I just absolutely love it. And I don't know, when he was singing "He Is Mine," and that reminded me of just, that used to be a youth choir song, right, Jen? And that's actually, I think that song is actually in our hymnal now. I'm pretty sure. Is it in our hymnal? Yes. All right. Very good. And it was good to hear Brother, like I could hear how the youth choir was singing it, and I hear Brother McDowell ramping up. I'm like, I don't know how he's going to get to that next note, because I know where that's supposed to be, or where I hear it. And he did great with that, and appreciate that. That encouraged my heart. And just the other day, the kids, the minute the car starts, "Dad, can you turn on some music?" That's the one, brother. And sometimes I just want to quiet for a minute. Like, we just, you know, came out of the house in a whirlwind. It's like, just wait till, and I'll pick something. Like, wait till we're on the highway. I don't know why the highway makes music available or not, but, and then the minute the car, you know, the front two tires cross over into 531, "Dad, can you turn on that?" "Okay, hold on." And we hit that CD, and we've listened to it a lot of times, and appreciate that good music. And John chapter number 8, verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the testimonies, and Lord, the good singing, and Lord, my cup's already full, and I thank you for that. Thank you for these dear people and the hours and days and months and years that we have spent together. Lord, I pray that you would bless the service here tonight. Use your word to challenge, encourage, and strengthen us. Lord, we don't know what this week holds, but maybe something that we read here tonight would be what we need. We would make wise decisions. Lord, again, thank you for allowing us to meet here together. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout the scriptures, specifically through John, a number of times, he calls himself something. And the I ams of Christ is proclamations. Verse 12, we find one here. Now, when we start in verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them," saying, indicating to me somewhat that there is a little gap between verses 11 and 12, just the wording of it. He says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." To a world lost in darkness, Christ here offers himself as the guide. I'm not sure if you're aware, but this world is a dark place. On Saturday mornings, if it works out, gentlemen, if you'd like, we meet at 8:30 and read the scriptures together. We've been going through the book of Mark. We're through, chapter 8. And so far, many of the miracles that Christ is interacting with people in the book of Mark is casting out demons or devils, indicating to me that it was a dark place spiritually. I look around at the things that are going on, and I don't know about you, but it seems darkness is celebrated. We're coming up on a holiday that just celebrates, I say holiday, I don't know if that's even the right word, an event on the calendar that celebrates darkness, death. And that's not who my God is. I serve the God of light. And here he says, I am the light of the world. Hey, you put Jesus in the middle of this world and that thing lights up. Reminds us again that we are that light also in Matthew chapter number 5. He tells us that. But this world is dark. Look at Isaiah chapter number 60. Isaiah chapter number 60. Listen to these verses here. Starting in verse 1, we'll just read about 3 verses. Arise, shine. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Aren't you glad that's you? And the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Man, I'm thankful for that. It uses some words here to describe the earth. And not just darkness, it uses the word gross darkness. That means all-encompassing darkness. When Jesus showed up, that was a dark time. It had been quiet for a while. Approximately 400 years of silent years since the last prophet showed up. See, you and I, we have the benefit of reading the Word of God. When we are hopeless, we can go to the Scriptures and find hope. When we have no joy, we can, again, rekindle a relationship with the Lord through the Scriptures. Imagine such a long, dark stretch. Jesus comes to the earth and he says, I am the light of the world. In John chapter number 3, verses we've read in times past, we could go there, please. In verse 17, for some reason, men are drawn to darkness, and when we went through this passage, the reason men are drawn to darkness is because in darkness, sin can be hidden, or so we think. The Bible says in John chapter number 3 and verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And the men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Hey, why is there such an attraction for darkness? And why? Because we think we can somehow cover up. I don't want to stand in the light. If I stand in the light, I will be exposed. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I'm going to expose all of this. And it's, can I say though, in his perfect way, instead of repelling us, he draws us to him. In verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Isn't that true? The times change, but it's something to the effect of nothing good ever happens past, and you, depending on how old you are, would be depending on what time your parents would say. The older you get, maybe the later it goes, but after 10 o'clock, nothing good happens. How many of you can testify to that? I don't remember too many good times after 10. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God is the light of the world. And he defeats darkness. He exposes sin. He draws us to the light. I think it was Hudson, he was watching this little like a animal video thing, and they were, I don't know where they were, but they had this light and this big white sheet. Where were they? It was foreign somewhere. Where was it? Australia? No? Costa Rica. And so they had this light, and at night they put this light on, and they had this big white sheet, and then they waited for all the moths and the insects to come and attract to this white sheet, and then they would inspect it. Say, that sounds really cool. Then they found an elephant beetle, which literally was the size of this big, but That's what I kind of feel like with the Lord. I see the light and I'm just attracted to it. That's how it should be. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. You know why people don't want to hear what Christ has to say? It's because their deeds are evil. First Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 1, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of night, nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Hey, we're children of the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and as a follower of Jesus Christ, I ought to want to be in the light. I ought to bring light to things. Pastor Seatman and I were stopping at the store this afternoon, and I don't know, did you tell your wife that you got a couple slices? Okay, sounds good. No. Okay, so there we were, and we walk in to a local establishment that sells slices of pizza, and he said, and there was a guy there, he looked over at us, and he's like, "Are you guys attorneys?" He said, "You're dressed nice." He's like, "Whoa, so are you." And he goes, "Are you attorneys?" And we said, "No, we're preachers." He's like, "Whoa." He met us out in the parking lot. He said, "My wife and I have been looking for a church. And do you have any information about your church?" And got to give him the gospel. Gospel track right there. He shook my hand. You can tell that he has walked in darkness for a long time. It's no good living in the dark. Hey, live where there's light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. John chapter number 8. No matter how dark it is, light always defeats darkness. John 12:46, I'll just read this. Christ says, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. It's not talking about lumens or candle power. It's talking about understanding and having your spirit alive through Christ, being born again, having eternal life, the promise of that. That is the light of Christ. That's what he brought. He brought the light of life. In verse 13, he says this. Now, back in verse 7 in John chapter number 8, I think it was verse 7. In the previous chapter, the accusers of the woman leave. Remember there that they started with the eldest and slowly went out. And in verse 13, they return. "The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true." Imagine telling Jesus what you're saying isn't true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. That's a true statement. You want the record of Christ? 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Starting in verse 9, we'll read through verse 13. If we have the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. I wonder if John was there that day. John was there that day in John chapter number 8, obviously. I wonder if he's responding to those accusations with these words. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's the record. Jesus Christ is who he says he was. God testified of that. So when it comes here and they say, we don't believe you. Well, of course you don't. You are walking in darkness. And darkness does oppose light. In John chapter 8 and verse 15, he says, ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. You know, the Pharisees are really good at making judgments based upon outward appearances. Back in John chapter number 7, in verse 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You know, we make judgments based on appearance. About a week ago, the man that we met this afternoon, I saw walking through the parking lot of Tops, and I mentioned to Sam, I said, hey, I saw this guy, and he just looked peculiar. Sam mentioned that he knew who he was. And then today, I have an opportunity to give him a gospel track. You know, sometimes we... You know who really helped me with this is Sean. Every now and then we'll talk on the phone and he'll express appreciation for help or whatever. But he's taught me a lot. I'm really good at making judgments based on appearance, and usually to my error. Soul's a soul. Outward appearance judging can be a very difficult task, because seldom are things how they appear. Quiet people can be mean and even dangerous, and loud and boisterous people often back down when push comes to shove. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. I'm sure you're pretty aware of where we might go here, but 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Yeah. No, I think you can make some judgments based on what you see. I'm thankful that God can see past all that, and he can see our heart. That even the outward appearance, although it may be sharp or ugly or foul or even vulgar, God can see past all that and can see our heart. And if that heart truly is making a step towards the Lord Jesus Christ, He can see that and help there. And I'm thankful for that. I don't know what you looked like when you came to the Lord, but I'm glad God doesn't judge according to my appearance. Romans chapter number 2. Romans 2. Now, if someone's running at you with a gun, like, you can make judgments and say, you know what, I don't think it's safe for me to be here. Like, there are some judgments that are wise. Understand that. Hopefully you're never in that situation. Romans chapter number 2 and verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. That's a very simple yet profound truth. Seems to me the loudest judge over a thing is usually guilty of that thing. That's what Romans chapter number 2 and verse 1 says. So please be careful. Christ says, you judge after the flesh, I judge no man. Again, a verse that we've already read tonight, but John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He doesn't want you. Christ doesn't want you to be put up against him, because you will lose every single time. Because he is perfection and we are not. He says, I don't want to judge you. I don't want to be your judge, because you'll lose. I want to be your Savior. As we read verse 16, and yet if I judge my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Again, referencing back there, Pharisees try to make Christ look bad in light of the law, but Christ uses the law in his response to them. He mentions the testimony of two here, and a reference back, we can look there if you'd like, Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Not that I really gave you a choice, but again, just being polite. Deuteronomy chapter number 17 and verse 6. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Look at chapter 19 and verse 15 of the same book, Deuteronomy. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. If any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. And that's what Christ is bringing up here in John chapter number 8 and verse 17. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. And look at where he goes for his testimony. You know, I feel like here he's not our judge. But you know what? Before we go to verse 18, I want you to look at Revelation chapter number 19. I've been getting a lot of questions about the things that are happening in the Middle East as pertaining to end times. And I had someone even this morning mention, hey, if they bomb Jerusalem, that Jesus is coming back, right? Well, Jerusalem has been destroyed before. This isn't a cop-out answer. I don't know God's timing, though. I do see the warnings that he puts forth towards the last days that I feel like, I don't know, I just look on what's happening in our world and I can't help but think, we must be close to the last days. It's like he's describing these days. But I don't know how long the last days end. But I do know this, in Revelation chapter number 19 and verse 11, it says this, and I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called what? Faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. He's not a judge in John chapter number 8. But one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. Now, that's not the rapture. That's after the rapture. That's when he comes back and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. And he's going to be a judge. But it wasn't in John chapter 8 that day. If we go back to John chapter number 8 and verse 18. A lot of I get messages on Facebook. Pastor, you got to read Ezekiel. And what do you think of that? Or Isaiah. And hey, I read the verses and I think, yeah. That could be right now. Or it could be another 10 years or 100 years or 1,000 years. I don't know what God's timing is. But I'm praying it soon. And John 8:18. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me. Verse 19. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. Now notice the capital F there. That's a reference to God the Father. If he had known me, he should have known my Father also. For our last thought here tonight, you can't get to know the Father except through Jesus Christ, his Son. So I want to skip Jesus and go right to the Father. You can't. You can't. Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. And as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and understand that God our Father, and all that he has entailed with his character and holiness and all of his omniscience and all of his omnipotence and just his very character of who he is. Say, I want to be in his presence. You've got to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people want to get to God without Jesus, and you cannot. That's what he's saying here. I'll go through the church. You can't get to God without Jesus. There's no institution, there's no entity outside of Christ. And that's what he's saying. He's like, you say you want to know my Father, you don't even know me. And you can't know the Father except you know me. I am the one that bear witness of myself. Hey, have I not proven who I am? Is what he's asking. And he does over and over and over again. But truly, they were not listening. How many times in the scriptures, they have ears, but they hear not. They have eyes, but they see not. I don't want to be guilty of that. I hope you don't want to be guilty of that. God is who he says he is, and many times we just don't even see that. Oh, sure, we heard the words, but do we make application in our own heart? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. I wish they would have got a hold of that. Hey, what this dark world needs is not for us to pillow our head, pull the covers over our head, and let's hope that tomorrow is a better day. No, they need some people with the light to run to darkness and share the light of Christ with this world. Let's all stand tonight.